Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome everybody to worship on this, the fourth weekend after the Epiphany. For our friends worshiping online, as always, a reminder to go to our website, chapelofthecross.org. You'll find a lot of things there, but specifically for this, you'll find the worship bulletin there under the Resources tab, and there's also options for giving your offering to the Lord under the Give tab, or you can just mail your offering in to the church office. Just a few things to know before we begin our worship today. Before Christmas, you might remember that we had some Christmas cards for our members and our friends to sign to share with our homebound members. We are doing that again, this time for Valentine's Day. Hopefully you noticed on your way in today, there's that table set up with a number of greeting cards, Valentine's Day cards on it. If you could take a little time today, share your love with your brothers and sisters in Christ and sign some of those cards for our homebound members, we would appreciate you doing that. Thank you very much for doing that. Speaking of Valentine's Day, on Sunday the 14th, Valentine's Day, Chapel will be hosting our annual marriage anniversary celebration here in the sanctuary at 12 noon after the late service that day. We invite all married couples and their families to come and to renew their vows that day and celebrate the gift of marriage that God has given to us. Special milestone anniversaries will be highlighted prior to that service. And if you got a special wedding photo, please bring that in. We will have a table to display those photos for people to see in the commons area. Again, that's Sunday the 14th at 12 noon. And lastly, the February edition of the Walking Together in the Word devotional is available now. Print copy is at the Welcome Center. It's a pink-colored cover, so you can't miss that. The digital version is available at chapelofthecross.org under the Resources tab. God's blessings to you as we worship the Lord today. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior. For those using their hymnal at home, that's hymn number 842 in Lutheran Service Book.
Eternal Savior, source of life.
We rise. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are the ones whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. As Moses speaks to the people through God, we confess those times we do not listen to your words and close our hearts to you. Forgive us, Lord. As Paul warns, we confess those times when our freedom in Christ causes one who is weak in faith to stumble. Forgive us, Lord. As Jesus, the long-awaited prophet and Savior, taught with and showed his authority and power, we confess those times when we allow the forces of evil to make us forget the deliverance and love of God that we have in Christ. Forgive us, Lord. With David the psalmist, we humbly come before the Lord and confess our sins. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord of all, by your hands all things were made, and your word is power over order and chaos, light and darkness, life and death. Grant your spirit that we become instruments of yours by your grace, humbly serving you through the perfect prophet and savior of this world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. St. Paul writes, "Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol, and since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother, for whom Christ died, is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are many who hold authority in our world, who hold authority over you and over me. I think about the policeman or the judge or a teacher at school. Last year, I received a summons in the mail to serve on a jury. And it did not matter at all if I wanted to do that or not. I didn't have a choice in the matter. That state, the state of Missouri, holds authority over me. I had to go. Of course, there are those who rebel against authority. You see a protest going on. It usually has to do with the problem people have with authority, or at least what the people in charge are doing with their authority. There's a comic strip called Baby Blues, and maybe you've seen that comic strip before. This one kind of made me chuckle. The first frame shows the man who's the father in the comic strip during the 60s making a peace sign when he's in his college classroom, and he's saying, "Question authority." The next frame shows him 30 years later talking to his kids and saying, "Don't you question my authority." At the bottom of the strip are the words, "What goes around comes around," usually a little too quickly. So, how is it with you and authority? Who is the authority in your life? Have you ever borne the brunt of a dictatorial teacher? Or have you ever felt trapped by a power-hungry and an authority-wielding boss? I think maybe we all have stories about that kind of stuff, that power being lorded over us. And ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God's authority, we at times have trouble living with authority. But we all, every single one of us, lives under authority, one authority or another. So, who has the authority in your life? Who is the person, or what is the thing that makes you do what you do and say what you say and think what you think? Who is the authority in your life? Over 2,000 years ago, right after Jesus began his ministry, he spoke at that synagogue in Capernaum. And it's interesting to me that Mark doesn't record a single word that Jesus preached. What he did share was the reaction of the people to Jesus. Well, now there's a man who can teach. There's a man who can preach. He's not like our teachers of the law, because he speaks, he teaches as one who has what? Authority. And they understood the difference between power and authority. See, the teachers of the law, they had power. They knew the rules. They had rules for every situation of life. And they applied those rules in meticulous detail. And since they were the keeper of the rules, they had the power. But they were missing something. They were missing what Jesus had. Jesus had authority, and because Jesus spoke as one who had authority, people listened to Jesus. And the teachers of the law, they taught as ones who demanded obedience. Jesus taught with authority. They taught this law, which was devoid of love. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, and he taught about repentance and forgiveness and grace. I mean, what a difference there was between Jesus and those teachers of the law. One was about power and control. The other was about invitation. One was about demand. The other was about mercy. One was about fear. The other was about love. Jesus was a fresh breeze to the people, and the people heard him gladly, and they loved it, and they recognized this one, this Jesus, he has authority. And as if to prove the point of Jesus' authority, while he's teaching in the synagogue, all of a sudden a man, kind of a dangerous man, I'd say, bursts out shrieking, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." The man's demon-possessed, filled with an evil spirit. Do you know something? That demon got it right. He gets an A in theology, in Christology. That demon knows that Jesus has authority. They do not question the fact that he's got the authority to destroy them. And it's just a matter of time. Is it going to happen now, Jesus? Because after all, you're the Holy One of God. You have the authority. Jesus, of course, doesn't give the demon the time of day. Be quiet. Come out of him. And the text says that with a compulsive heave, that evil spirit left the man. And that's first-class authority right there. And the people are just absolutely amazed. Jesus, he would encounter Satan's demons throughout the rest of his ministry. And really, it was always the same result. With just a word or two, Jesus would crush those demons and just send them out, drive them out. But you don't only see his authority over the demonic. Remember, the disciples are afraid for their lives because of the storm on that Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, he shows his authority over the wind and over the waves. And with just a word, that sea is calm. And the disciples, they're totally amazed. They can't believe it. Jesus, he meets a man who's paralyzed, and he says to the man, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." And to the utter astonishment of everybody around, the man hops to his feet, picks up his mat, and he goes home. He's got authority. Authority over sickness and disability and disease. And on Easter Sunday, oh man, do we see his authority? And as the risen Christ leaves the empty tomb, all who look there and come to that empty tomb, they go away convinced that even death must bow before Jesus' authority. No wonder the people who first heard Jesus speak in that synagogue in Capernaum that day regard him as somebody special, somebody with power and authority. Jesus is someone whose authority can make a difference. But that was Capernaum. And that was over 2,000 years ago. What about here? And what about now? Who is the authority today? Who is the authority in your life? It's an important question. I know that there can be many answers to that question. But I pray that through the Spirit's work on your heart, your answer to that question is, Jesus is the authority in my life. Because Jesus is the very Son of God. He is my Savior from sin. He's my Lord who has given his life for my life. He's the one who makes me do what I do and say what I say and think what I think. Jesus is the authority in my life. In that simple statement, you are joining countless others who share in that faith in the authority of Christ. Those who can proudly proclaim, along with St. Peter, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. But it is possible, isn't it, that there are other authorities in our lives. There may be authorities for you that have maybe kind of shoved the Savior to the side from time to time. Maybe some sinful pleasure of this world has kind of supersedes his authority. Maybe it's a perpetual sin that is kind of separating you from God and his authority. Maybe it's pride. It can even be things like a sports team, an ideology, a political party. Authority can come in many different shapes and sizes and forms, but really, it doesn't really matter. It has very little difference what it is, because if our authority is not Jesus Christ, it is a false authority. But when Jesus, by the Holy Spirit's power, rules our hearts, when Jesus is the authority above anything and everything else, then he changes our lives. And he changes our future. Our lives are lived in faith for him. And our eternal future is secure with him. Lutherans for Life has a wonderful little publication they put out called Life Date. And we have that available here at Chapel of the Cross for anybody who'd like to read that. It's in our commons area at the Welcome Center. And the last issue is a story in there about Michael Ray Luna. Born September 30th, 1994, at 27 weeks, Michael was born to a mother who struggled with alcohol and drug addiction, homelessness, and mental disorders. She even tried to self-abort Michael. Found bleeding in an abandoned building, she was rushed to a local hospital, and there Michael was delivered alive. Spent over 3 months in the NICU. No one gave him more than 1 year to live, but he exceeded that life expectancy. Michael was put into foster care, and Phil and Marilyn Ward took him into their home. They were members of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, and one day after choir practice, the Wards talked to Marcy and Jeff Luna about Michael. And Marcy said, she says, "I heard a voice in my head, and I don't know," she said, "if it was the Holy Spirit or an angel, but that voice said, you have to give that little boy a home." So Marcy and Jeff Luna adopted Michael at 18 months, and it was not easy. Michael suffered from an immune compromised system. He had respiratory struggles. He had apnea as a baby. He experienced seizures. He needed physical therapy. He walked with a walker when he started to walk. He was diagnosed with intellectual disability at age 5. But even through very difficult times for that family, still Jesus was their authority. And that's what caused them to care for and love and take in that little boy named Michael. Michael is now 26 years old, and he will always be intellectually behind, functions at about a third grade level. But Michael, that article says, is an indispensable part of his family, his church, and his community. Michael shines with the gift of empathy. He senses when others are sad or having a bad day, and he's got his own ministry of presence. He comes over and he sits quietly, offers a hug, or smiles a big toothy smile of appreciation and acceptance for everybody. As Jesus is the authority in his adoptive parents' lives, so he has become the authority in Michael's life. And you know, we read that story, at least I did, and I'd say, boy, Marcy and Jeff, they're some very, very special people. To do all that they have done in those 26 years for Michael and continue to do that. But I don't think they'd really want those accolades, to tell you the truth. I mean, they're just unassuming, regular people, people not unlike you and me, who with Jesus as their authority did things that were extraordinary because he changed their lives and he changed their minds and he changed their lives because he was the authority in their lives. So I guess the question is still there. Who is the authority in your life? Jesus has called us to follow him, to believe in him. And by God's work in us, we can say, he, Jesus, is our authority. He is my authority. And he has changed my heart, my mind, my life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, help us confront the evil within us and the evil all around us with your powerful word of truth, that we may be set free to serve you alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, grant us the aid of the Holy Spirit to know Jesus Christ, to keep and grow in the faith, and to live our lives the way that you have called us to live them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, to all your people, give your heavenly grace, especially those who serve in this congregation and in the church at large. Bless our lay leaders, our directors and our elders, teachers, musicians, missionaries, directors of Christian education, deaconesses, and all others who work to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blessing that they are to you and to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, as we conclude Lutheran Schools Week, we thank you for the great blessing that Lutheran schools are. We ask that you continue to bless all Lutheran schools, their teachers, administrators, and students, but especially those schools that are partners in ministry with Chapel, including Grace Chapel Lutheran School, Salem Lutheran School, Lutheran North Middle School, Lutheran High School North, and our Lutheran colleges and universities and Concordia Seminary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, be with all who are unemployed or underemployed. Keep them in your care and help them to trust in you, even during these difficult times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, as Jesus once showed concern for those in need, hear us today as we pray for healing for the sick, relief for the suffering, and peace for the dying. Comfort and encourage with your ever-abiding presence those who are hospitalized and others who are suffering through illness or infirmity, including Cindy Vogelsang. We pray, Lord, that you would grant healing to Cindy and all who are sick according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who celebrate special gifts of your grace, especially Manfred and Roberta Loesch, who give thanks to you for 46 years of marriage, Butch and Linda Taylor, who are celebrating 49 years of marriage, and Bill and Grace Green, who are celebrating 60 years of marriage. Continue to bless them all, gracious God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
You are the light.
We now take and eat the very body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sin. And take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you and for many on the cross, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together. Jesus has come and brings pleasure, found on page 12 in your bulletin or 533 in your hymnal.
free.